We work to work, you late to work, I holla and they send it. You know my pride was colder than Chicago in December. My bitch came up in Inco with her mama, was her daddy. And when I'm in the Midwest, she say holla at your family. My dog paid me that cup, taste like candy. My dog out laying the law, ain't breaking the laws, out serving out the rock. Beats outside, still fucking in the car, still flipping in the car, still shooting at the car.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to the You Know Ball podcast, and we are now live on YouTube, not technically live, but we are now recording video. And of course, for the first episode where I record video, I thought, let's have someone on who won't show their face, which is just brilliant by me, really. But so we have Mr. Gregory Smith on the line. If you don't know who Gregory Smith is, he is a insider in Milwaukee for a radio station there. What's going on, Gregory?
Not much. Glad to be on. Thanks for giving me a platform.
Yeah, of course. You know, I think your voice is really necessary in today's trade slot market, and we need to hear the insights. Like, I think about, like, the greatest journalists, like the most honest people out there, and I think of, like, Shams, Woj, Sam Sheehan, NBA, and Gregory Smith are, like, my four go-to guys. There are some other people that I generally, like, trust, but you guys are definitely like the Mount Rushmore of trustworthiness when it comes to NBA trade rumors. So first off, up top, you got a juicy rumor that you want to drop on us. So what is the big name player who's going to be out there at the deadline that you have been hearing about?
So the Phoenix Suns have made they stressed not available. They are listening about the Phoenix Suns are listening about DeAndre Ayton's trade value on the market. They're exploring trading, which is we'll get to it. They're looking for a versatile player who could maybe give them a different look because they're pretty satisfied with how JaVale and Bismack Biyombo have been playing, which is just a hilarious sentence to hear in 2021 or 2022. They think they can hold down the fort in the regular season, and they want somebody who they think can do well in the playoffs, which is very funny if you remember how well DeAndre Ayton played the first three rounds, and just Giannis has single-handedly destroyed any opinion of DeAndre Ayton.
Yeah, I mean, got him into foul trouble, wasn't able to, obviously stay on the court enough in that series to really make like a major difference. And I remember in like the second and third round hearing like, I'm not even exaggerating. I heard people arguing that would you rather have a center like Ayton or would you rather have Joel Embiid? So I'm glad that we've now got to the point where just like it was with Bam Adebayo, that with DeAndre Ayton, people are coming back down to earth a little bit. I just want to have a side note. I still think DeAndre Ayton's really good. I don't really think that like the idea of Phoenix like moving on from him is nothing to do with his play on the court. It's literally just the owner being cheap as shit. Robert Sarver, the most ethical man in the NBA, the most honest, loyal, you know, just like the best owner in the NBA, notorious for being a great guy, is cheaping out once again and possibly fucking over the Suns. So You've said to me, and you just said like the versatile center is what they're looking for, right?
Yes. It's also the whole thing with Ayton is that he wants a max, and can you really build a contender when you have a guy like DeAndre Ayton as center, get out on a max as compared to like Joel Embiid or Jokic as a center on a max? Like, I don't know if DeAndre Ayton exactly does enough to like
Sure.
In the modern NBA to warrant a max, which is the whole issue. Like, you could not to like say Sarver shouldn't just fucking pay him because he should, but like you can like not quite like JaVale and Bismack Biyombo can perfectly replicate Ayton, but they've been playing well in the regular season. But
so what you're saying is DeAndre Ayton is just Bismack Biyombo, but picked number one overall.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's exactly what I'm saying. Clip that one.
Max contract JaVale McGee.
So the funniest thing is They are, yeah, for as far as versatile player, they're looking for like a younger PJ Tucker is a name that I heard thrown out there. So remove Ayton's name from it, and it's trading the 2018 first overall pick for a younger PJ Tucker.
Who you picked ahead of Luka Doncic, Trae Young.
Yep.
And Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Jaren Jackson. It's easy to say that now. You know, Ayton was thought to be as one of the top two or three prospects in that class. I don't think that anyone, you know, there were people at the time. I thought it was stupid at the time that they didn't pick Luka number one. I think a lot of people felt that way. But I don't think that people looked at it like they looked at the Marvin Bagley pick. Like, I think that the whole – everything that's going on with Ayton now, like, I don't think you should do the – James Wiseman sunk cost fallacy thing that the Warriors are doing, which is like, we're just not going to sign a backup center so that maybe James Wiseman, who was literally played like 25 games of basketball over the past two seasons and was largely terrible for them, is just going to be our backup center and we're going to contend for titles. Like, I understand, like, I don't think that like it's comparable to like that kind of situation, but at the same time, like, Phoenix is a market where, like, they don't really get free agents. Like, they've had some success getting free agents. They got Chris Paul to go there. They got, obviously, historically, they got Steve Nash to go there. They've had some success with it. But, like, generally speaking, they draft their own guys there. And also, on top of that, like...
Also, they traded for Chris Paul.
What's that?
They traded for Chris Paul. They didn't...
They did trade for Chris Paul, but he
obviously,
got to
OKC got the pick, yeah. But...
Yeah, he got to pick where he wanted to go because that's what Sam Presti kind of does, is tells guy, like, I know, because he basically said, fuck no, I'm not going to Philly and playing for Doc Rivers. So, awesome. And probably Daryl Morey, too, because, you know, they both kind of...
Wombo combo, baby.
Yeah, you know, the most personable GM coach duo in the entire NBA we have here in Philadelphia. But the Ayton thing is funny to me because I'm like, who the fuck else are you going to pay with that money? Like, Chris Paul's what, 37? How old is Chris Paul? 36, 37?
36 turning 37, I think, before the season's over.
Okay, so 36 turning 37. Okay, so this is your window this year. I'm not saying like I think that this thing that's being floated out there is probably more like, hey, he's available if we get blown away by an offer.
And
we don't want to necessarily max him this summer, so maybe we should try to get what we can and build around Booker and Bridges and all that shit. But, like, I've been thinking about people, and I'm like, I don't think there's a single player out there right now that you could just take and put on the Suns, and they would remain a surefire title contender. I'm not saying that DeAndre Ayton is like what makes them go. Chris Paul and Devin Booker are what makes them go. But he's
I was gonna say, is he a good playing center, or does he just play with Chris Paul?
Right. It's hard to tell. It is really hard to tell. But I think that he's but there is some like viability to the fact that like he is a really good defender. Like, he gave Jokic a lot of problems, and like to get through the West, you're probably going to have to go up against, I mean, it seems kind of funny now, but like Anthony Davis, Jokic, like to get to the finals, like, you're going to have to go up against, you know, Escargot,
James Wiseman, Anthony.
You're going to have to go up against, you know, Baguette Boban. You'll have to go up against, I don't really think that, like, I think that what Ayton brings to the table is he's a really good rim protector, he's a pretty good defender, and he's a great fit with Booker and Paul. So if you're to go try to get, like, a more versatile, like, PJ Tucker type, let's say, which is what
I
you
have
said.
An idea.
Is like, okay, what's your idea? Throw your Ayton idea at me.
I don't know if this is actually... It's all theoretical because the dude hasn't played all year. But if they want like that versatile guy who can play like eight positions, it's Thad Young, and he makes about the same amount of money Ayton does.
So yeah, they're gonna trade DeAndre.
Yeah, I didn't say it was a good idea. I said it was like that fits the bill.
Well, look, Thad Young's only 32 years old. That's always been the thing with Thad Young. You're like, damn, I didn't realize he's only 32. He's always he came into the league like 15 years ago at like 17. He's the Jason Tatum of 15 years ago. He's 33 now. But yes, no,
untradeable. God,
what's that?
He's 33, untradeable.
I mean, you're trading your 23-year-old borderline all-star center who could theoretically get better. You're trying to get back a guy who's going to be like a high leverage player, like a guy who can play a 16-game player, as you said to me earlier, a guy who can fit well with Booker and Chris Paul. And I just think, like, if they're going to go after some guys, like some people that made sense to me, I had a list of a few guys that I'll read off now. John Collins is someone I think that could make a lot of sense. He could probably do, I mean, I don't think he's going to protect the rim quite like DeAndre Ayton does, but he's become a pretty good help defender. He catches lobs. He can shoot. Like, he's kind of versatile. And also the Hawks are like, we'll get rid of this guy for anything. Now, the issue with that would be Clint Capella is like, they just signed Clint Capella to a 3-year extension and they literally cannot trade him until this offseason. So you're essentially just punting on this season and hoping to build around Trey and Capella, right?
Trey and Ayton, you mean?
Trey and Capella, who would be like the new and improved version of Capella in theory, at least. Yep. So there's that.
Is the Warriors scare them that much? I don't remember the Warriors. So I know the Warriors beat the crap out of them twice, but like, did they just play Ayton off the floor? Is this just a wild overreaction to that? I don't remember that game very well, if you do.
I don't either. But I mean, I think that they've played pretty close games, if I remember correctly. Maybe that is the thing, but like, I mean, Steph literally can't even hit a three right now. Draymond's injured and could be out for the rest of the season. So I don't really think you can really base your moves around what the Warriors are doing. I think you need to base your moves around what's going to be best for the team this year to help us contend right now. And trading for a guy like John Collins, like at least like John Collins did play pretty well in the playoffs last year, but like also there were some games where he just like completely disappeared. And even in the Sixers series, when they won that series, like it's not like John Collins is making his stamp on every single game he's playing in, but he can at least in theory be a versatile guy, a big who can play the four, the five, whatever. So
I also realize that if they go for John Collins, they have to send like Landry Shamet back to the Hawks. And Landry Shamet just feels like a Hawk. Landry Shamet's going to finish his career on every team in the NBA. At the rate
no, Landry Shamet is going to do the Jeff Green, Kevin Ollie tour of duty where he just plays for like 17 NBA teams. I think it would be funny if they just waited until the draft to trade Landry Shamet, because it's like, I feel like every year at the draft, it would just be a funny bit if they're like, we should just trade Landry Shamet again. Does anyone want him? We got to make this a recurring
thing.
At the last two drafts.
Do you want the 37th overall pick in Landry Shamet for the 49th overall pick in like a Plumlee?
It just keeps getting lower and lower every year. The first time it was the 19th pick. Last year it was the 28th pick. Then the following year it's going to be like the 37th pick. And then eventually we'll just get to the point where you're trading. Every year a team just trades the last pick in the draft for Landry Shamet. Do you know that when we traded him, there were Sixers fans and personalities who said he's the next Klay Thompson?
Yes. I knew people who were very high on Shamet, and people still are, even though I think he's not done that well this year, from what I remember. But I haven't heard his name anyway.
He's like an eighth man, ninth man. Like, he's like whatever. He's like, his ceiling is like, I don't know. Bryn Forbes. Like, he's not good.
Hey, that's NBA champion Bryn Forbes.
I forgot that I'm talking to a Milwaukee loyalist here. And as we know, outscored Jimmy Butler in a playoff series. So really, who's to say here? Could Landry Shamet outscore Jimmy Butler in a playoff series?
A lot of people can. He's not that good.
Fair enough. So some other names I had on the list for him, I basically was just like, okay, who's available for trade right now? And who is like a versatile, I don't even know what that really even means. I guess it's just like, you can shoot, you can defend, and you can catch lobs. Like, those are the guys that they want to surround Booker and Paul with. And as you said, like, Paul can kind of make any center into like a good player, a valuable player. And so the other guy that I had on there was Jeremy Grant from the Pistons. So Jeremy Grant for the Pistons. So just to go back to just to touch on that first trade, I think they could trade Ayton and Dario Saric's contract plus like some filler for John Collins. And that would probably have to be what you need to do for salary matching for Jeremy Grant, who's available at the deadline. But like, once again, do you want to trade the former number one overall pick for like the 78th best player in the NBA?
And who have to you immediately have to pay? And the reason you're not don't want to sign Ayton is because you don't want to pay him.
And you don't want to pay him. And yes, he'll probably make less money, but not that much less money. And then the best part about all this is that Jeremy Grant thinks that he is Kevin Durant.
Yes.
So,
and he would be comfortably the third option. It might equivalent with Mikal Bridges. Like, that would be his role. It would be that. And it's just,
which God, is probably the best role for him, but he's like, nope, I'm LeBron James.
All credit to him. He wants to fucking be the star of the show, which got all respect. Power to you, man. Go to China, seek your worth, be the king of over there.
Like, yeah, no, I mean, I'm not hating on Jeremy Grant for that, but like, realistically, if you're a contender, that's not like, he's made it known. He had a list of teams. I'm assuming he just went to like tankathon.com just
and went
like,
to the bottom
went to the top of the draft and was like, okay, you could trade me to this team, the Pacers, like literally any team that is
he would he screams the Pacer. He feels like such a Pacer if he wants to be the star of the show. Like, oh Jesus Christ, send Malcolm Brogdon over to the Pistons.
Well, Malcolm Brogdon can't be traded right now.
I know he can't be traded.
He extended his contract as you. I know you're the resident.
To avoid going to Philly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I know they called him up last second and was like, "Are you sure you don't want to trade us Ben Simmons for Malcolm Brogdon?" But the Jeremy Grant thing just doesn't make any sense to me. So the last one that I had on here was Miles Bridges, who is also going to be a restricted free agent. And I said to the Kings person, Brendan Nunez, who I had on the podcast 2 weeks ago, and DeAndre Ayton kind of falls in this camp too, where I'm like, restricted free agency isn't real. So these guys are either going to get traded for each other or they'll be moved in a sign-in trade of some sort. Like, guys that hit restricted free agency, whatever teams that are out there, they're not going to loop up all their cap space on a restricted free agent on the, because the odds are he's just not going to fucking go there. Like, he's like the team will just match it or they'll figure out something to keep the guy, whatever it is. So Miles Bridges and DeAndre Ayton will both be restricted free agents this year. You could have both M Bridges on one team.
I was going to say, do you think that's some sort of like bonus effect, like how the Bucks continue to having brothers on the team? I know they're not related whatsoever, but do you think they have some sort of like synergistic effect where they both get better being around each other?
It's kind of like
Hancock. It's like Hancock.
It'll be a tag team duo, the two M Bridges. Like, you know, it's I at least from a marketing look, Robert Sarver's a cheap piece of shit and he wants to make money. Marketing campaigns. M Bridges, both M Bridges on the same team. You could sell t-shirts. They could go on a press tour. Like, I think he'd like that idea. I think I think that one, if you do Miles Bridges for DeAndre Ayton, which by the way, I don't think that Charlotte would do that at this point.
I think
which is
they
weird.
Would rather trade PJ Washington, who kind of also fits the bill for them, but he's obviously not as good as Miles Bridges has been this year, but he plays like the small ball five and he kind of fits the role they're kind of looking for, but obviously you need to give up more.
He fits the PJ Tucker role.
Yes.
he fits the, why don't we get a guy who is, can shoot threes, is like a stout defender, a little bit smaller, but he can probably play small ball five. But at the same time, like, You're really gonna trade DeAndre Ayton for PJ Washington? Like, I'm just like, I don't see that at all.
And either like, do I. I was just looking, thinking of guys who are. I know because PJ Washington's available and fit, like would fit. Or do you think like the I don't know if it's on there. The Magic do like a Mo Bamba for DeAndre Ayton sort of swappy duty.
What was that word?
Swap-a-duty? I don't know what that
is. Swap-a-duty? Yeah, no, I like it. Yeah, no, that's sticking. That's what the fuck. Swap-a-duty. Hey, it's
do the old
James
swap-a-duty.
Jones. I got an idea for a swap-a-duty. He's feeling confident.
It's John Hammond.
Extension. I mean, I think the Magic would be all over that. I think that DeAndre Ayton, his value, you either have to get back someone. Like, to me, the only trade that makes sense is Miles Bridges for DeAndre Ayton of all the trades. Like, maybe John Collins, you could talk yourself into that. The big thing about John Collins is, like, he did just get paid, but, like, his contract actually isn't that much. Like, it's $125 million for the next 5 years. The Ayton trade fit would be great if you could move on from Capella. I kind of like that idea if it could work.
I think the Hawks might already have their center, though. Okongwu has been fucking awesome.
True. And the Hawks have the issue of having to pay everyone. They just moved Cam Reddish because they didn't want to pay him. So, yeah.
They moved him to purgatory.
Well, yeah. I mean, they moved him to be the 11th man in Tibbs' rotation in New
York. He's not in the rotation, period. He's just vibing.
Well, he's being unlocked right now. That is what
future star Cam Reddish.
I mean, dude, he hit 5 threes in a playoff game once. Like, that's got to count for something.
6 or 7, I thought. It was an infinite number in that game 6 of that series that was trying to kill me.
Literally, anyway. He probably shot as and made as many threes going into that game as he did in that game in his career. Also, they got rid of Cam Reddish because Cam Reddish isn't good.
What?
There's that element of
also,
it.
Also, he wanted to be the guy also.
Which makes sense. So go to the New York Knicks, who have 15 ball handlers. Great.
Yeah.
They're now interested in Jalen Brunson, I heard today, which is you can't have 10 guys that all want the ball.
Well,
that's
Jalen
not how
Brunson,
basketball works.
Well, at least they picked a good player this time.
True.
Jalen Brunson would Brunson's be the good. Best player on the Knicks, so I mean,
well, he's the best player on the Mavs right now, so.
Okay, stop. Let's calm down.
Oh, hey, look.
Put the calculators away.
On-off numbers, I'm just saying. Just saying. Philly legend.
The Luka Jalen Brunson on numbers with Kristaps off is so fucking funny. It's like 8 or 9 net rating. It's like, good Lord.
Yeah. Wait, no, I thought Kristaps has been really good this year.
Not, it's better when he's off the court still with when Kristaps or Luka and Brunson just by themselves without Porzingis.
Well, that makes sense a little bit. I don't know. I heard that Porzingis has actually been good, though. You know, your boy Jason Kidd's finally figured it out.
Jason Kidd is like a fucking mirage. When he shows up, he like, I don't know what he does on defense anymore, but he like, well, it'll be everyone to be like, oh shit, this team has fucking got a fucking solid defense. It'll just disappear next year. Swear to God of my life, because people will just watch it and figure it out, and then it'll never work again. I don't know.
There's something about a new coach. I don't know what it is that it just like works for like a year, and then if they suck, they just get figured out.
Unless they're Ime Udoka, then it's just over. Then you just suck.
Well, you know, he's really handsome and he has a hot wife.
So correct.
Why shouldn't he should just retire and focus on being a hot wife guy. I would if I were that good looking, I just would be like, I'm not gonna work anymore. Nope.
Got a famous hot wife. I'm far too good looking to do a job.
So maybe all the players are just jealous of him. That's why they don't listen to him, because he's so handsome. Mm. It's possible. I don't know. I'm just spitballing here. But, okay, so DeAndre Ayton probably not going to get moved before the deadline.
No, I don't think so. But it's interesting that they've – I mean, it makes sense, too, if they're not going to – they don't think they're going to max him, that they should at least hear what's going on.
Yeah. Also, what will probably happen is he'll hit restricted free agency. He'll get a 4-year max offer from one of the few teams that has cap space, and then they'll just match that and – they'll figure it out later.
I know I mentioned Thad Young. DeAndre Ayton feels like a Spur, doesn't he? He just feels like he should be a Spur.
I can see that. Little David Robinson, but not as good. I mean, I'm just like,
yeah.
Like, I guess. I don't know. Like, to me, like, DeAndre Ayton's a great third guy to have on your team. If he's your best player, you're going nowhere.
What if like the Raptors offered like Siakam or like OG?
OG. See, the OG thing, that could make a little bit of sense to me.
I don't know if they do it, but like, well, I don't think the Raptors, of course, if they hear this, are going to attack me for even insinuating moving OG Anunoby. But
dude, they literally, Raptors fans got mad at me last year because I said maybe we could get DeAndre Bembry in a Kyle Lowry trade if we lose like all of our depth to be like our ninth man. And there were Raptors fans that tweeted at me and were like, "We're not trading you Bembry." And I'm like, "Really? He sucks. I don't even want him. We literally have to have players on the team."
Like Siakam, or like, I don't know if Siakam even moves the needle enough at this point. I mean, obviously Siakam's back to not being garbage anymore, but like,
right.
Is that enough of a name, or like enough of a thing that you can talk yourself into Siakam? Like, I don't know.
He'd probably be better playing with Chris Paul. I think it's safe to say that he'd be better playing with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. But at the same time, like, kind of back to the Miles Bridges thing and the OG Anunoby thing is like, teams, first off, the Raptors overvalue their own guys so much. Like, the Raptors don't make a trade for someone unless they're like clearly winning the trade. That's pretty much, except for the
Kyle Lowry sign and trade. Yep.
Yeah, Precious Achiuwa.
Tyler Harrell or Precious Achiuwa? Oh, I want Precious Achiuwa. I want Iguodala.
I think if you think about it like this, Precious Achiuwa is 21 years old and Kyle Lowry's like 34. So, I mean, I'd personally rather have the 21-year-old because he can get better, you know?
He's got a lot of work.
He's got a lot of work to be like a G League player. To be honest, Precious Achiuwa might be playing overseas by the end of his rookie contract. So, but there is something about like the Miles Bridges, OG Anunoby, like the idea of trading for a center who's probably not worth the max in most situations, and then having to max him, and also giving up OG Anunoby, who like, DeAndre Ayton's probably going to end up having a better career than OG Anunoby, or at least like maybe the same, but like,
OG Anunoby's going to put it all together. I've been hearing this for years.
I know he's the next Kawhi. He's the next Kawhi, and also, He's the next Scottie Pippen and Michael Jordan in one person, actually.
No, Fred VanVleet, Scott, Canadian Michael Jordan, even though he's not Canadian.
Oh, okay. You know, he's Canadian Steph Curry. So we have figured out that, teams just don't, like, whenever I look around the trade market and I'm like, oh, we can get a wing, we can get, like, a guard, like, there just aren't wings out there. Like, there's just no wings you can trade for. And if you can trade for them, they probably suck. Like, they're just, I don't know. They're like Kelly Oubre or like someone that's like whatever, like a rotational wing. And like a
PJ Tucker.
PJ Tucker's more of like a big kind of. Sure. Like, he can kind of do both. But like,
he guarded wings, but anyway.
Yeah. But my point is that finding good wings is so hard and teams just overvalue them to the point where it's like, I don't even know if the Raptors would trade OG Anunoby for DeAndre Ayton.
I don't. Well, especially if they still have Boucher and Pat Siakam on the roster, I don't think they'd do it. If they're moving Siakam or something, then maybe.
And also, Masai has his little pet project where he's just going to make Fred VanVleet and every player on the roster has to be 6'8".
Yep.
6'8" wing slash big.
He saw that old Reddit post where it's like, what if all the Warriors locked arms around Steph Curry when he shot?
He's like, we're gonna do this with Fred VanVleet. It's brilliant. It's a brilliant strategy, honestly. The Raptors are gonna be a pain in the ass for years to come. They've always been a pain in my ass, even when they didn't have Kawhi. Like, they're just really annoying to play against. But all right, let's move on from the slop up top that we had, and we're gonna do the next thing, which everyone has tuned in for, which is Ben Simmons news once again. More stories coming out about Ben Simmons. I don't know what to believe. Like, I'm literally to the point where I feel like I'm... What's that?
Slop.
We love the slop, folks. And, like, don't get me wrong. I love it. But I feel like the last week of information is like an acid trip. And I'm just trying to piece together everything because I just don't know what the fuck to believe and what not to believe. Everyone's lying right now. everyone from every side and every front office is just leaking shit to try to gain leverage and do whatever. And the latest thing is that the Sixers might really be willing to hold on to Ben Simmons until the offseason on the chance that they could get James Harden from the Brooklyn Nets. This makes no fucking sense to me. I'm just going to leave it at that. Just makes no fucking sense to me at all.
I mean, from everything a certain friend of the pod and I have heard, it's a hot... Unless the Nets basically win the title, it's highly likely that if the Sixers' avenue is open, he ends up on the Sixers.
I know. I'm not saying that I don't know that information. What I'm saying is, how the fuck do the Sixers get to the point where they can do that?
Tampering.
Okay. So do you just try to like hold the Brooklyn Nets hostage? Like, okay. So let's say we get to the offseason. Let's say Ben Simmons does not get traded at the deadline. Let's just say like the deadline passes the offer. They didn't like the offers, whatever. Daryl Morey has his dark twisted fantasy and he wants to get to the offseason so that he can get 33 going on 34 year old James Harden on a 5-year max contract or 4-year max contract would be the longest we could get him for. Why would the Nets do this? Because in the past, you could say the situation we just brought up with Kyle Lowry and with where he gets traded for much less, he gets traded for Dragic and Precious Achiuwa and like a second round pick or some shit. Well, the reason they did that is because there were two teams, the Pelicans and the Mavericks, who had cap space that made big offers to Kyle Lowry. And you could at least in theory say, oh, he might go to the Mavericks. No one's going to go to the Pelicans. But he could go to the Mavericks, and we could be sitting here with nothing, which they pretty much ended up with anyway.
Also a little different. Like Kyle, this is not exactly the same situation. Like Kyle Lowry's like the face of that like beloved icon of that franchise. So obviously they want to work with it. Where do you want to go? Like, we'll help you get there.
James Harden is the face of the Brooklyn Nets. They're soulless franchise.
That's the whole article. He's not the face of the franchise. You don't like it.
I know he wants to be the guy. And it's funny because if the thing that he really desires, like there's a bunch of shit in there about taxes and weather, which, by the way, we got shitty taxes and weather here, too. I will go full libertarian if it means we can get James Harden this summer. And
what you need to do,
we should get rid of the city wage tax and all that shit. But
if you are the Philadelphia mayor, as you institute a new like. Urban and housing development project on refinancing and rebuilding all of the strip clubs in Philadelphia to be the finest facilities you've ever seen and pump all the city's money into rebuilding the strip clubs.
Habitat for Delilah's, which is, you don't know that reference, but Delilah is one of the biggest strip clubs here. And James Harden would love it, I'm sure. He has connections to the ownership group, all that shit. Like Mayor Kenny, if you are listening, I think he's still the mayor. Everyone hates our mayor. He's done a lot of shitty things. I mean, everyone hates every mayor, right? There's not like a beloved mayor somewhere that I'm not thinking of.
Only on sitcoms.
Yeah, right. Usually it's like, oh, there's the guy that is a piece of shit. We all hate him. Oh, cool. So, Mayor Kenny, if you are listening, please eliminate the city wage tax, make it so that the Sixers don't, or make it so that the Sixers could just dodge taxes and be a haven in Delaware. They don't have to pay taxes on anything there. So, but just let them temporarily relocate so we can get James Harden on this tax-free shit that he got in Texas. And, but like back to the whole point of the James Harden thing, like the article is like, well, he doesn't like the weather there. I'm like, well, Philly's the same fucking weather as New York. We're an hour and a half away. That doesn't make a difference. Okay, the taxes are not New York taxes, but they're not great here. We're still like a major city with some pretty shitty taxes. And like if your main goal is to just be like get all of your income, like that's not going to be the case here. And on top of that, you have the fact that like he wants to be the guy, and like he's not going to be the guy here either.
Well, it's It's so that whole article from Jake Fisher, which I obviously he's a credit reporter. I'm not going to. But who is leaking the weather and tax? Like it's either Harden's like camp trying to come up with the excuses for him to like work his way out of Brooklyn, which is in nonsense that they just can't say the Kyrie stuff, which they just like hint at the Kyrie stuff. Like Kyrie pisses him off. Kyrie's status as a part-time player is how I believe it was cordially worded. And all that stuff. Or it's Maury.
Instead of being like Kyrie's an insane person and James Harden doesn't want to be around him.
It's like, Maury's like, he doesn't like the weather and sure. The taxes. like, what is, okay. I don't know. Like, it feels like that, like the source mandated that had to be in the article, right? Because it's like, if you're writing this article, what the hell are you putting that in for? Like, you don't need to put any of that in there for. Like,
well, also, just want to point this out there. You told me this like a week ago, all this, like, most of this stuff.
I know.
Like, the tax stuff is out there, but it's just, like, a funny reason. Like, at a certain point, when you make, like, $50 million a year, are you really worried about, like, the $2 million in taxes you're losing?
Well, he might be a cheapskate. He doesn't have an agent. Did you know that? I didn't know that.
I did find that out today that he doesn't have an agent and that he's basically in the process. They're, like, trying to, like, get someone certified by the league. So that's Jake Fisher said that, like, basically they're working with the players you needed to get, like, some random guy. Like, yeah, hell, you trust this guy with my money.
Hey, so it's gonna be Agent Lil Baby coming in.
Yeah, this is really fucking strange. I don't know what the hell is going on with the situation, but like, I do think that there's a few different elements at play here. The main one is that, like, the thing that I heard 2 months ago was the Nets don't know if they want to pay him. And that's where all this comes from. Like, the Nets are like, do we really want to give a 33-year-old James Harden, who's going to be 38 at the end of his contract, the biggest contract in NBA history?
5-270, baby.
More than Giannis.
Yep.
More than Steph.
More than Bradley Beal. Like,
well, I mean, to be fair, Bradley Beal is, you know, the GOAT, obviously.
Yeah, he's obviously.
The best top 25 player in the NBA who gets paid like a top – will be paid like a top five player.
Harden not having his own agent, like, that leak has to come from, like, Harden, right, that he's not getting paid. Like, I think we know that we can pretty much
he's
deduce.
Just hit up Jake Fisher.
Yeah, like – like it's externally putting pressure on the Brooklyn Nets to pay him. So like, obviously that is coming from Harden or someone in his camp that he's not getting the 270 and he's not happy about it. Like,
right. That's really what it comes down to, is that I think that he's worried he's not going to get his money. And if he doesn't get his full contract, then he's like, then what the fuck am I staying here for? The point was to come here, try to win championships and make the most fucking money I can. And now a bunch of it's getting taken away in taxes and blah, 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 blah. Are the Sixers being used for leverage once again in a James Harden situation? It sounds like it is to me.
Porter, I just want you to know, if they don't get Harden and he doesn't get traded after the deadline, I'm sorry. Like, you are going, your podcast is going to have all the listeners because you're going to be having a live mental breakdown.
I'm doing a stream on the trade deadline. You will literally see my body leave, or my soul leave my body, if they do not trade him on the trade deadline.
The trade deadline's always like it's like a 2 p.m. or something, isn't it? It's like at a really weird time.
Yeah, I'm going to become the fucking... All right, well, maybe not. I was going to say I'm going to become the Ted Kaczynski, but maybe let's not go that far. I don't want to get arrested.
Joker, baby.
I don't want to get arrested. Parody, satire. I'm not going to become the Unabomber.
I forget who originally wrote this article about, like, the problem with, like, Sam Hinkie and his similar thinking GMs is, like, they think like spreadsheets and not like human people.
Absolutely.
That's what's, like, going on with the Maury thing. Like, you literally are, like, holding Ben Simmons hostage at this point. Like,
we have been.
Yeah, I know. But, like, if we're going to, like, we're just going to hold you hostage until the end of the year now so we can get James Harden. It's just, like, come on, man. Like, this is ridiculous.
It's psychotic. There's no other way to describe it. It's like, it's just completely unhinged. And I keep hearing, oh, it's actually the smartest thing if you can get James Harden. And I'm like, why do these two things have to be completely related? Because it's like, if you trade Ben Simmons, okay, so let's just think about it like this. The Nets have no incentive to send James Harden to Philly for Ben Simmons, who's a worse player than James Harden, even with all of James Harden's issues. And like, you know, you can get into contract stuff like, well, you'd only have to pay Ben like 30 something. You'd have to pay Harden like almost 50 to start. And then you're going up and up and up. And like, I get all that. But like, the idea that the Nets have to trade him is not true, because you go, who are the teams that have cap space this summer? There's the Detroit Pistons, the Orlando Magic, and the San Antonio Spurs. And by the way, none of them will even have enough cap space. Maybe the Detroit Pistons, but otherwise, I don't think there's any team that has enough cap space to just flat out sign James Harden. And if that's the case, then they can't go, the Sixers can't go, well, he's going to leave for nothing. He's just going to go to Detroit. Like, he's not fucking going to Detroit. So your options are try to clear for the cap space now. You could trade Ben Simmons and Tobias Harris to the Kings for maybe Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Harrison Barnes. Try to flip those two for picks and expiring contracts like Gary Harris to the Orlando Magic or to
Terrence Ross of the Orlando Magic.
Just anyone. Just you know, they have literally every expiring contract.
Robin Lopez.
So an entire team of expiring contracts. But like, that would make more sense to me. Or trying to acquire John Collins in a trade, who makes like, he's going to make like almost $10 million less than Ben Simmons next year. And then you can like have a little bit more flexibility. Like, you need to try to gain a pathway to cap space so you can threaten to be like, hey, we're actually going to create enough cap space to just sign James Harden. And if you have Ben Simmons going into the offseason, you basically have to hope Detroit or San Antonio or one of those teams just is like, yeah, we'll take him just for picks. That's your only option, really. Like, I don't know if that's going to happen. If those teams are like, no, we want to go in another direction, then you're kind of fucked. And like, okay, maybe you could get one team to take on Tobias Harris this summer. But okay, so is literally this summer the cap space in the NBA is just going to be taking on Ben Simmons, taking on Tobias Harris, and then there's like one team with cap space and that's it?
Well, you could always theoretically, if James Harden opts out of his contract, you could do a sign and trade with the Spurs, I think. And send Ben
just
Simmons.
Have him wait there.
Have send Ben Simmons to the Spurs for James Harden.
No, but the Nets would still have to agree to that.
Would they?
If James Harden opts into his contract?
No, if he opts out and then can you sign and trade with someone else like that doesn't have your bird rights?
Okay,
I don't know how sign and trades work.
So you can you can create a trade exception for if you just salary dump Ben Simmons to the Spurs, which by the way, they have $20 million. They have a road to $20 million in cap space this summer.
Oh, so never mind.
Ben Simmons makes $35 million next year. Like, you would have to create a little bit more. They would have to send back some money. And then from there, if you still have Tobias Harris on the books, you'd have to find a place for him to move. Like, the best move right now, and I know that there are people out there that are like, well, like, what if Brooklyn just gets to the point where they're like, we don't want to give him the money, and we don't want to give him the money, and we don't want him here because he's going to be unhappy. Then maybe they'll just gladly take back Ben Simmons because Ben Simmons would be the best player ever traded in a sign-in trade. And I'm like, that's a big fucking risk, dude. Oh, yeah, we just want to send our second best player to go play for a team in the Eastern Conference with the player that might be on the same level as our best player.
Yay.
Like, what? What are we doing here? Who, like all the people that are like, this is the smart move. I'm like, you literally just think in numbers, I guess. You don't take human emotions into the fact that like, we're going to be holding a player hostage. Yeah, every player in the NBA is going to want to come play for us after we hold a player hostage for an entire fucking season. They're going to love it. They're going to be like, trade me to Philly. I'm going to go sign with Philly. If Daryl Morey is, you know, like basically like can't trade me, he'll just hold me against my will. This is fucking insane, dude.
Yeah,
this
no, it's nuts. Psychopath shit.
It is. It's literally psychopath shit. And the idea that like, it's like, of course I would love to have James Harden on the Sixers as our second best player. Like at this point, he's already regressing a little bit. I'd be worried about the money, but also like, fuck it. You've burnt every other bridge. You don't have options. Dame's not asking out. Beal's not asking out. You're fucked. You have to just get the best player you can. I'm totally fine with that. But in this scenario, it just makes no sense. If I were the Sixers and there were a possibility that you could get a prospect like Tyrese Halliburton, or maybe there's someone out there that I'm not thinking of on a rookie contract to create that cap space and flexibility for the summer, then I would do that and try to sign James Harden. But just holding on to Ben Simmons and like possibly not even moving Tobias Harris at the deadline, and like, you got to try to move him for expirings or trade him to a team like the Kings, who have guys who teams actually want, like Harrison Barnes. Like, I've heard no one wants Tobias Harris, by the way. Like, there's not a single team in the NBA.
There was a little slop nugget left behind a couple hours ago that said the Spurs might be in the Tobias Harris market, but.
That's so weird, because for years, Marty Teller has been trying to get Tobias to the... He does feel like... I mean, DeMar's better than him, don't get me wrong. But, like, DeMar just, like, kind of, like, holding down the fort there for a few years while they were just, like, super mid. Like, Tobias could be the worst version of that.
But that my question be, like, is, how many...
best player in the NBA.
How many years does Tobias left on have on his deal?
Two after this one.
Two more? Like, Pop's not going to be there for two more years. Like...
Right.
They're only maintaining this level of like bullshit credibility, aka get like the 10th seed every year, so Pop can get the all-time wins record. And I just like the Spurs. I don't know if they're ever gonna full tank again unless Tim Duncan 2's in the draft. But like,
no, they're gonna do the Raptors thing where they just like try to like remain competitive. Yeah. And like develop their guys like Devin Vassell, DeJounte Murray, Derek White, like
Keldon Johnson.
Like, they just literally, like, people, anytime people bring up Spurs trade targets, I'm like, why are we doing this? They don't trade their guys ever. Like, literally, the only time they've traded their guy was when their guy came to them and was like, trade me immediately. I hate it here. Other than that, they have not traded anyone until their contract is up, when they did the sign and trade with DeMar. And, like, he wasn't even their guy. They didn't draft him.
Yeah, I'm expecting, well, Thad Young, of course, wants out. And I'm.
Right.
My question is, who is going to sad Thad Young makes $16 million.
So I thought you were going to call him Sad Young.
Oh, well, he is Sad Young right now. Sad Young is Ben Simmons. it's like
NBA we've heard, sad boy. Mental health is very serious. We take it seriously here at the You Know Ball podcast. Ben Simmons, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Jesus fucking Christ.
I don't
Flight
like
or who's, fight because of a basketball game.
Who's
right, anyway,
trade,
going
to trade? Who's going to trade for Thad Young? Is my like
that's unless, what you've been thinking about.
Yeah, it's because I want Thad Young in the Bucks at a buyout, obviously, is what I've been
thinking. Of course.
It's like Spurs, like they're like, we're going to work with them and finding a destination. It's like, okay.
Anytime that happens, that means you're getting bought out.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, Thad Young is a valuable player, but not on $16 million a year. Like, come on.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. Are there teams out there that could use Thad Young? Absolutely. Thad Young's still like a solid rotation player in the NBA.
He should be on a contender. And
for sure. 100%.
What kind of contender can send out $16 million in salary?
Exactly. Like, is Utah going to trade Joe Ingles for him? Probably not. I'm just trying to think of like random, like maybe if the Suns could scrap together like Dario Saric and I don't know, like someone else on their roster that just has like tradable salary on there.
Oh, Landry Shamet.
No, Jalen Smith.
I think part of the also another possible reason they want to deal Ayton is that because he's been playing really well for them. Like,
feeling sad.
Yeah.
Well, they're really fucked. They can't bring him back.
basically,
if he plays well, they're screwed.
Yeah.
They literally can't offer him more than like $6 million now.
Oh, yeah. Because Because they didn't pick up his option.
Yeah, like, it's the Sixers with Furkan Korkmaz. They did the same thing.
Maybe the Bucks should get Jalen Smith. Ooh. Anyway.
Stay woke.
Yeah, except we can't offer him anything besides the minimum. So.
Well, I think that if Jalen Smith, I think he'll get traded before the deadline just because, like, they literally can't bring him back because Robert Sarver was like, I need more money for hookers. Clearly, there's something going on there where Robert Sarver was like, I need more money to donate to Sheriff Joe Arapo's campaign.
Well, this is his third year, right? This is the first time I've ever heard his, like, this season's the only time I've ever seen him, like, play basketball. Like, did he spend a year hurt? Or did he just suck for 2 years and then just figured it out all of a sudden? Like,
Is it his third year? No, I think it's his second year. That's the thing.
What?
It's his second year. He got drafted ahead of Tyrese Halliburton and Tyrese Maxey.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're right. Jesus Christ.
He's only in his second season. That's why everyone was like, they didn't pick up his third year option? What? You just spent a top 10 pick on this guy.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Jesus Christ.
So in theory, like, okay, maybe San Antonio, because if San Antonio gets him, I think the problem once again is I'm pretty sure even if you trade for Jalen Smith and he plays really well, you can still only offer him like $8 million or whatever it is next year, which, I mean, I don't think a lot of teams out there are going to be dying to get Jalen Smith at more than $8 million. So at least you could, like, it's only like 125% more than what they would have got. So it might be like $6 million. I'm not even really sure. But it's the Sixers probably had this issue with Furkan probably a few years ago.
Or it's the Bobby Portis where you sign the one-and-one, and then you have early birds, then you can actually make
right.
money.
And then you can make your money on your next contract. Something like that could happen with him. Like, I think he'll probably just be used for salary at this deadline. And, like, the Suns, Thad Young makes a lot of sense on the Suns. He could maybe be that.
I would not like that. I would not like that.
Well, I'm sorry. I do probably think, like you said, like, when I heard they were like, oh, we're looking for a destination for Paul Millsap, I was like, Paul Millsap, buyout coming soon. That never, ever works, ever.
And I was like, who is trading for Paul Millsap?
Also, you just gave away all your leverage. Hey, we don't want this guy anymore, by the way.
I legitimately was like, well, he's better than Semi. And people were like, are you sure? Which, yes, I am. But it's just like,
Paul Millsap, at least at one point in time, was a very good basketball player.
Yeah, and I was like, well, he does have the Bud connection, and he can't be worse than Semi, but, like, you know, I still,
That should be his new nickname, because he really is maybe the worst.
It should be unemployed. His nickname should be unemployed.
All right, so moving on to some other stuff. The Hornets were interested in Ben Simmons. I don't think there's anything real there. I think Daryl Morey's probably just like, hey, this team's also interested. What are they going to send us? Kelly Oubre? All right, I'm good. I'm fine. I don't want Gordon Hayward, even though I think I would love to take Gordon Hayward for Tobias Harris. But if Gordon Hayward were the centerpiece in a Ben Simmons trade, I would kill myself live on air.
What if you got Miles Bridges and Gordon Hayward?
Then I would be absolutely thrilled. I'd be pumped. Yeah. I like Miles Bridges a lot. I don't know if he's going to end up being what the Sixers need, but he's a good. They're just going to value him too much. Like,
and then you're going to have to pretend to like his rap. I know we've had that
discussion. Oh no! Yeah, I know. And then I'm going to look so uncool because I'm like a washed 30-something year old white guy who's like hating on Miles Bridges' Detroit rap, which like everyone likes. So I need to avoid that situation entirely.
Everyone, all of our friends do drugs except Miles. He doesn't do it.
Miles is clean and sober, baby. Everyone else is sipping on lean here, though. So, all right, this is just for comedic effect. The Lakers have. Oh, I just want to bring up a little story I had at work. I just want to let everyone know how sick I am when it comes to this trade deadline shit. Like, I haven't been outside in like 3 days. Like, I don't, like, people say touch grass. I haven't seen grass in like a week. Like, I just don't go outside. Like, I literally just spend all day on the trade machine, thinking of ideas, doing all this shit as the deadline comes up. So at work the other day, someone goes, did you hear about the Lakers trying to get Jeremy Grant? And I said, no. And then they said, yeah. I said, what was the offer? And then I said, wait, was it Talen Horton Tucker, Kendrick Nunn, and the 2027 first round pick? And they were like, yes, that was exactly it. How the fuck did you know that? Like, I was like, oh, well, the salary matching in my head. Talen Horton-Tucker makes $9 million. Kendrick Nunn makes like $5 million. And then the first round pick is the only asset that they have. And they were like, yeah, that's kind of disturbing that you know all that information off the top of your head. And I was like, I'm a sick person. I don't know what else to tell you. But they apparently have tried to offer this to every team in the NBA.
I would just love to like pick like someone goes like, I feel like I heard these ridiculous rumors of the Westbrook for Wall trade and that expanding out of control. And I did hear that Houston asked for Talen Horton-Tucker, and that's where the talks ended for the time being, which is just the funniest.
Who is Talen Horton-Tucker?
I have
a, like, is he I, real? Is this a real person?
Iowa State legend. My dad, or
what's his best stat? The fact that he's 21 years old?
The best thing about Talen Horton-Tucker is that THT is a good initials.
He's got a really catchy nickname. He's 21 and he has long arms. So
he did.
Hard to say.
He's on an exact amount of money that can be. Remember, they kept Talen Horton-Tucker over Alex Caruso, who they make the same amount of money.
They could have traded Talen Horton-Tucker for Kyle Lowry.
Yep.
And they said, no, and like, don't get me wrong. I know that Raptors fans got really mad when we didn't trade for Kyle Lowry, but Tyrese Maxey is really good. Like we didn't trade a good prospect for him. Talen Horton-Tucker has done literally nothing. Why? Like, it was a stupid thing at the time, and it's a disaster now. And I just want to say, shout out to Jay Williams for the greatest soundbite in the history of the NBA, which is when your boy Giannis Antetokounmpo took his Supermax, said he didn't know if they would be able to beat the Lakers because the Lakers are stacked and Talen Horton-Tucker had like 20 points in two preseason games.
Yeah, you ever feel like, so you know the old like philosophy where it's like the only person you can prove is sentient is yourself, and you can't prove anyone else around you is actually sentient. It's like,
okay,
I feel like everyone else is like the media has like been psyoped, or they're like not conscious robots, and that we are just trying to comprehend their brains. Like the Talen Horton-Tucker propaganda. Has there ever been a player or a prospect as bad as him that is propped up as this like future? Oh wait, it's Cam Reddish.
Ooh,
this.
I'm at least Cam Reddish can hit a three every once in a while. Like at least Cam Reddish had a good game at some point in his NBA career. Like that's the difference. Is that Cam Reddish at least was very very good in high school. Like Talen Horton-Tucker, like. Dave McMenamin should be in political prison for what he was pushing out there during all of this shit. Ramona Shelburne, like all of them were like Talen Horton-Tucker, the next great thing. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like this guy sucks.
Clutch Mafia, baby.
No sense. Absolutely. It's literally just Lakers state media. It's just insane, insane shit. But now they are stuck with him because he's not good. And like, here's the thing. Maybe THT in like 3 or 4 years could become like a good rotation player in the NBA and like figure some things out or whatever. You have LeBron James at 37 years old. You should have traded this guy the second you could to try to get back Kyle Lowry, Jeremy Grant, whoever was your target at the time. You should have just fucking taken that. And like talks broke down. And the John Wall thing is like, I mean, I get that. Like, I wouldn't want John Wall, but I also wouldn't want Russell Westbrook.
not a top 75 point guard in the NBA.
He's just sliding down. He's going to be a top 30 point guard in Greece next year.
I don't know, man. Georgios Kafsiakis is going to have that shit locked down.
So let's just talk a little bit about the Wall for Westbrook thing, because I had that here on my list. Has there ever been a trade where a player gets traded? Russell Westbrook was traded to the Washington Wizards. Wall was sent to the Houston Rockets. The Rockets got a first round pick to take on John Wall. And now they're asking for a first round pick to take on Russell Westbrook for John Wall. They literally just got two free first round picks. If that were to happen.
Yeah. As a player, I don't know. I don't think a player's ever been traded for each other twice in a row. Like, that's just insane.
At least max players. No.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, these are like the convincing small market teams to never sign the Supermax.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
This is 100%. What goes wrong. I love how the Wizards, though, are just like, sign us up again, baby. Bradley Beal, here's your Supermax. Come on down. Like,
yeah, we will never learn our lesson. We will never
change. We will never improve. I'm a bad bitch with terrible taste.
Our promise as an organization is to never get better. What an inspiring thing to tell your fan base. But like, if you were the Lakers, would you do that? Would you just be like, fuck it, let's just give up our first round pick and THT or whatever with Westbrook just to get, because the Westbrook thing has gone incredibly wrong. And we all knew this was going to happen. Everyone
that had a brain. I knew it in 2019.
Exactly. Yeah. You predicted it before it was even, the trade was even fucking made a year before.
Yeah.
So, like, would you do that for John Wall? Like, John Wall has barely played basketball for like 4 years.
Yeah. Like, I mean, obviously you'd want to work. I don't know if you can even get permission to work John Wall out, but you could
ask them. Yeah.
Like, you gotta at least like see if his body works. And then
it's pretty important.
Yeah. Like, Russell Westbrook is literally the worst player in the NBA right now. So like, except for Taylor Horton Tucker's
and Semi Ojeleye. Yeah, those.
And Semi Ojeleye.
And Charlie Brown Jr. is on the Sixers. Yeah. The big three. Like,
put those three on a team together. You don't know what's going to happen. It's not going to be basketball, but something's going to happen that's beautiful.
Yeah, the vibes will be chaotic.
The loudest bricks around the world. You could build an entire stadium.
Have you seen that fucking Westbrook montage?
Oh, yeah. Which one?
No, it's literally every time he shoots and it just hits off the top of the backboard. It's happened like 15 times. I'm like, how do you even do this?
Yeah, it's like Russell Westbrook, like he has to, like they think it's like he has to go. But it's like John Wall is the, like John Wall's obviously just like the best you can do. Like,
he's the only one that will match his salary. I did come up with a trade that I don't think that any team would do. I do. This is just me thinking from my sick process hinky brain going on right now. But the Lakers get Derek Favors and Tobias Harris. The Thunder get Russell Westbrook and the Lakers 2027 first round pick. They could buy out Russ after that because they don't want Russ back in OKC. I think they just do him a favor and be like, get the fuck out of here. And then the Sixers get Kendrick Nunn, who we would then cut because I don't want any domestic abusers on the team. Taylen Horton Tucker, who once again probably sucks, but you're just doing this to get off the Tobias Harris contract.
Yeah.
And Sixers legend Mike Muscala, who has a racist dad that we could get rid of him too.
And he's actually like decent at basketball. He's like the best.
He's actually kind of good. Yeah.
He's the best player in the trade.
Yeah. He's like. Mike Muscala, he's good for 15 minutes a game of just like shooting 43s in 15 minutes, which is really what the Sixers need.
No, Tobias Harris is probably actually the best player in that trade.
But, he is. I think so.
Like that Lakers 2027 first would be a gold mine of an asset if it was any team besides the Lakers.
True. Yeah, because they'll just get like Tatum will go there.
They'll sign Tatum and LaMelo Ball or some bullshit because they're the fucking Lakers. Like if it were like, I don't know, like the non-Buck, like because Bucks have Giannis. Like if you know what I mean though, like an age, like a Phoenix 2027 first round.
Oh, absolutely. Worth
way more than a Lake. Because this is like the most valuable it's ever going to be is right now. Like,
it's not looking good for the Lakers in the next few years.
But like reality tells us like the Lakers can only be bad for like 4 years before they pull some bullshit.
Yep.
The small market, like it's a bailout. It's just like, yeah, like Taylen Horton, it's literally like Kendrick Nunn, who has he played this year yet?
No, I don't think so.
Yeah. Like, well, fuck him. I hope he I hope he has more injuries.
Yeah, he's a bad guy.
Taylor Norton Tucker's a bad at basketball guy.
And yes, this is different, not morals. That's I'd keep THT. Yeah, like if who you cares? We're punting on this year anyway. Who gives a shit?
If you can't get the Pistons to buy in on your lottery pick, like your well, not a lottery pick, but you know, like Taylor Norton Tucker lottery and the 2027 first, you're not gonna get a single team to like. If you can't get Jeremy Grant for that, like no team is gonna like take it. Like,
well, it seems like I don't know if the Pistons are just posturing right now, or if Jeremy Grant really is just like, I don't want to go to these teams, don't send me there, and they're actually like abiding by that because he does not want to go to the Lakers because he knows he'll be the third option there. But also like you're playing with LeBron James, like I don't, that seems like a pretty good guy to be behind. But whatever.
And if the fourth guy, like Malik Monk, is like all of a sudden everywhere and talking about getting like a huge salary. And he's been playing fine, like
But he's on the Lakers, so that was a smart business move by Malik Monk. He was like, all I have to do is just go to the Lakers and I'll get hit a bunch of threes, and Lakers state media will fucking parade me around like I'm literally Steph Curry, and I'll get $20 million in free agency next year. But once again, there's no cap space, folks. So I don't know where that money's coming from.
Malik Monk to the Pistons, baby.
Malik Monk, he was born to be a Detroit Piston. I could absolutely see that.
Cade kicking out to like, Malik Monk.
I understand that Malik Monk is like playing really well right now, and like I wanted the Sixers to take a shot on him this offseason. But at the same time, if you're the Lakers and you can get a player like Jeremy Grant, like, and the thing is, Jeremy Grant doesn't want to play there. I guess that really is the big holdup there. But like, you give up Malik Monk to get Jeremy Grant. Like, he's clearly better than Malik Monk. But my whole thing here is like, the Pistons seems like they just keep turning down offers for Jeremy Grant. They seem to have their eyes on these like bigger targets, like Patrick Williams, who they really liked in the draft last year.
And
they
Fisher really just said that Patrick Williams is off the table for any Jeremy Grant deals. So
exactly. And so I'm like, are the Pistons? So I don't know if this is just like a trend that I've noticed, but it does feel like every team is just like all these smaller markets, these mid-sized markets are like, no, we really like our guys. And unless we fucking like the Houston Rockets, like have gotten a ton of offers for Eric Gordon. And I know they're not a small market, but like they're kind of functioning like one right now. Yep. Like, it just seems like all these middle sized markets and like these like not like like contending teams right now are just being like super stingy with all of their guys that they have. And like, they don't want to trade them unless they get a fucking haul. Like, they're just like completely overvaluing them to the point where they would just rather let their contract expire than get something back or like trade them this summer. Like,
if they don't do the wall deal, I wonder if the Rockets, you do like the, THT is obviously the golden asset, but THT, the
Eric Gordon.
That feels like that's a deal.
That makes a lot of sense. Like, Eric Gordon to the Lakers makes sense to me. He's been on good teams. He can shoot. He can drive. He can kind of defend. I don't really know.
He's miserable.
He might have seasonal depression, maybe getting out to, although Houston has good weather. I don't know. But no, I think he would be good there. I think that, like, it's kind of sad that I look at this deadline and I'm like, if Ben Simmons doesn't get moved, like, this is kind of how the deadline works every year, where we're like DeAndre and Ben Simmons, like these big names. And then we get to the deadline and it's like, the best player move was Harrison Barnes. And you're like, great, cool. I mean, like, Harrison Barnes is a fine player, but like not the most exciting guy out there. So right now the Rockets have turned down offers for Eric Gordon, and the Heat are interested in Christian Wood. Who, like,
sure.
Why? Like, don't get me wrong.
Bam and Christian Wood, two-headed monster, Bucks by 40.
Like, isn't your whole thing, like, everyone, like, everyone works really hard and gets along and, like, does, like, the culture, like, that bullshit that they parade out there that's, you know, fascist propaganda or whatever. Like, Christian Wood literally is like moping in the middle of games and like just like dribbling the ball out of bounds and whining about his role and getting touches and shit like that. Like, I think Christian Wood could be good on like the Kings or like a team that's just like middling and like just needs to like maybe have some more good players. But like, if you're a contender like Miami, what the fuck interest do you have in Christian Wood?
Like, yeah, it's like Lowry, Harrow, Butler, Tucker, Adebayo, and Christian Wood. Like, we're like,
it's a lot of talent.
It's a lot of talent and like 12% from three. Like,
true, except for here. And now they're talking about moving Duncan Robinson, which is something that I was going to bring up on here because Spo has went into his closet full of white shooters and pulled them out.
Yeah.
Hey, Kyle Guy! Max Strus, here he is. He's going to get $20 million in 2 years.
It's like the Miami Heat must have like one of the best scouting departments in the NBA, but like one of worst GMs. Like, it's like, oh yeah, we have to give Duncan Robinson 590, but we have three guys who can do exactly what Duncan Robinson does. Like,
right. Miami always, and then Zach Lowe will get on his podcast and be like, you know, Miami just always figures out a way. I'm like, yeah, because they're like the Lakers. They have the biggest margin for error ever because they're in Miami. They don't have fucking state taxes. They have the Miami nightlife. And then also Spo is the best coach in the NBA. Like, so like, I don't know. Pat Riley seems like he has the easiest fucking job in America to me. Literally, yeah, what does he do?
He does cocaine. That's what he does.
He does cocaine and he looks like Michael Douglas in Wall Street. He's really good at those two things.
And put rings on a table, I guess.
That's count the rings, baby. That's how I imagine Pat Riley talks, even though he's Irish, not Italian. So Christian Wood, like, yeah, whatever. He's talented. And like, he just, to me, bad vibes. A year ago, you could have talked me into Christian Wood for the Sixers. Now I don't want any of those vibes near the team. I think that vibes matter too much. I'm seeing it firsthand with Daryl Morey and Ben Simmons and Doc Rivers. Like, I don't need the negative vibe. Like, I need positive vibes coming to the team.
I know, so, like, Sixers fans, at least in our Discord is like, Tobias Harris is like the worst good or good worst player in the NBA. I think that's Christian Wood.
No, they all think he sucks.
Oh, well, I think Christian Wood is the good worst player in the, like, the best worst player
in
the
NBA.
Best
bad player in
the
NBA?
Yeah, best bad player. Yeah, that's what I'm looking for.
Christian Wood. I think that's a good way to put it. Like, every time that, like, Christian Wood, like, I watch him, I'm like, yeah, he's pretty talented. Like, he's, you know, he's energetic. He catches lobs. He can shoot a little bit. But he also does, like, five of the dumbest things I've ever seen a player do in a game. And then he gets mad, like, all the time. And, like, has been on, like, he's doing the Kevin Ollie, Jeff Green tour of duty as he played for you guys at one point. He played for the Pelicans. He played for us. He finally figured it out in Detroit. And then they were like, we're good. You know, like, just go to another team and they'll figure it out. His contract's really good. I mean, he makes $13 million a year. He's definitely better than $13 million a year. But as you said, the best bad player, like, he'll be a good player on a bad team and probably not really contribute to a contender.
Do you remember when his contract first came out and everyone was like insulted how low it was?
We were like, is that wrong?
Yeah. I remember the Woj bomb and then like another Woj bomb, like, the Christian Wood deal is not finalized with the Rockets. And then he just got like 12 more million dollars. It was like,
yeah, he was going to make like what? 8.24. It was like eight per year for 3 years, $24 million. Yeah. Right. And then they were like, oh, by the way, we gave him more money. You know why that happened? I'm pretty sure that it was illegal. Because it happened before the draft, I think. Or, yeah, like, it was, like, some weird thing where, like, they technically couldn't have made the trade. Like, he would have only been able to sign for them with the MLE. They couldn't have done the sign-in trade at that point. So they waited a few days later to, like, announce the deal again. It was very strange. But, yeah, Christian Wood, I don't know. He's just, I don't want those vibes.
He's been available for years. He's been available since Harden left.
Yes, he's been available. He got cut by a cheat team in China because he was such an asshole. Like,
yep.
No, I'm good. Talented player, but I'm chilling. I watch him go to the Lakers and like be a contributor and they win the title.
Better than Anthony Davis.
Yeah, KOC called him the poor man's Anthony Davis a few years ago. Maybe the rich man's Anthony Davis. Maybe the 1% Anthony Davis. The current version, at least. So, all right, the Mavs are interested in Marcus Smart and John Collins. Okay.
Sure. I mean, the Mavs were interested in John Collins in free agency. I thought that was the thing.
They were.
Was,
and then they just didn't do anything because restricted free agency is fake. It's not real.
If the Celtics somehow traded Marcus Smart for Jalen Brunson, I think I would break something. Like,
in why? Because you like Jalen Brunson so much?
Jalen Brunson is so much better than Marcus Smart. It'd be like, what are you either of you doing? Like,
yeah, I mean,
oh, Marcus Smart is such a Jason Kidd player. Holy fuck, it makes so much sense.
And like,
he doesn't shoot. He shoots threes poorly, and he plays defense. He's
and he loves to post up.
He's the perfect Jason Kidd player. It makes so much sense.
I mean, like, he's good. Like, I've always felt like Marcus Smart was overrated because he plays for the Celtics, but, like, underrated by the general NBA fan base because everyone thinks he sucks. Like, he's good. Like, he's fine. But, like, yeah, I don't know. I'd probably rather have Jalen Brunson. Yeah, Jalen Brunson's been really fucking good. And, like, right now is probably the best backup point guard in the NBA. Should probably be a starting point guard for some team. Very, very – he's good. And, like, it was very obvious he was going to be good. It was stupid as hell that he fell to the second round. It will never make any sense to me. It's teams overvaluing young players instead of just drafting the sure thing, which Jalen Brunson clearly was. But apparently they're interested, but they only want to move like Dorian Finney-Smith and Dwight Powell. So I'm like, okay, you're not going to get anyone for that. Not anyone good. Like, they couldn't get Marcus Smart for that.
No. You could get the Lakers 2027 first.
You could get Kendrick Nunn, Dwight Howard, Talen Horton Tucker, DeAndre Jordan. Literally, we'll give you anyone except for Anthony Davis and LeBron James. You could even have Russell Westbrook for free.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that would be
Chris Porzingis and THJ for Russell Westbrook.
Oh my God, Luca would literally just be like, can you deport me?
I'm going back to Slovenia. I'm done. I'm gonna go drink Shirley Temple's and or sweet tea.
Sweet tea. Shirley Temple's is Joel Embiid. Come on now. Hey, Luca Embiid, diabetic team here in Philly. Come on. Let's get it. Let's make it happen. Ben Simmons for Luca. All right. So speaking of the Celtics, they are actually. Have you heard this one before? They're gauging the trade market for Marcus Smart.
For real? I think it's actually for real this time, though. Like, everything they have no other options. Like,
yeah.
Marcus Smart's obviously like the heart and soul of that team or whatever, you know. Like, we
if
know
Marcus enough Smart is the heart and soul of your team, then what are we doing here, really?
Oh, we're going seven games above 500.
Yeah, like, he's fine, but
like, yeah, like, obviously he's a great vibes guy, but, like, they have no options.
It seems like they all hate each other.
I think that's literally just Kyrie poisoned their brains. I legitimately, Kyrie has just, and Kobe brain Jason Tatum have, like ruined all the vibes. But, like,
they have Kobe and Kyrie brain. They've been, yes, the well has been poisoned.
Somebody's poisoned the water hole. Like, I don't know. Like, obviously, like, Rob's good. Like, they should keep him, but he's also, like, probably their best trade asset. Like,
yeah, he's so also injured a lot. Like,
yeah, I mean, they have him on a very reasonable extension.
Yeah,
but, like,
yeah. Like, all of the Celtics, like, Smart is good, and, like, Robert Williams is good, and they're all on reasonable contracts, but, like, once again, just another team that's like, we're not going to trade this guy unless we're fleecing the other team. Like, they're just not going to do it. Like, every one of their trades is, like...
I think they're going to trade Schroeder into someone's, like, TPE or something, or generate their own TPE and call it a day.
Yeah, like, because that's what they do. It's a Ponzi scheme.
Like, that would also get them under the tax.
No, they're under the tax now.
I thought the Juancho didn't quite get them there.
Okay, well, at least they're close enough that they only have to move, like, one minimum deal to get there. So, like, Enes Kanter, or Enes Freedom, I'm sorry. I apologize to...
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Patriot. But, like, you could just, like, salary dump him. Like, why do they even have him
again
on the roster?
Again.
Like, yeah. Maybe you could salary dump him at the draft. Is he signed? Oh, no, he's not signed for next year. I was going to say.
Trigger warning for Celtics fans.
Really, like...
Trigger warning for Celtics fans. You traded
Desmond
away.
Bain,
yeah,
they,
Desmond Bane.
Trade him back?
Yeah.
So they're also shopping Horford and Richardson, which, like, Shout out, honestly, shout out to the Celtics fan that got so mad that he blocked me on Twitter because I made fun of them for redoing the 2019-2020 Sixers offseason.
Hell yeah.
By bringing in Richardson and
I thought Richardson wasn't tradable because they gave him another year. Or was he just
so it's only a 1 year deal?
Okay,
so you're allowed to. I don't know. Like these, they all just seem made up. They're like, well, okay. He only gets signed to a 1 year. I'm like, sure.
I'm gonna put something cursed into the universe.
Say it.
Marcus Smart, Al Horford, and Josh Richardson for Russell Westbrook.
I mean, that makes the Sixers, or Sixers, the Lakers way better.
Yeah, it makes the Celtics way worse.
Yeah, I'm all for it then. Let's get it done.
It's something. Oh, man, they get that THT in that 2027 Lakers. Rebuild the trade cabinet.
If Kendrick Nunn isn't included in the no deal, I need Kendrick Nunn on my team. Every GM of the NBA is dying to have Kendrick Nunn on their team.
Send Dennis Schroeder back to the Lakers.
That would be an incredible bit. Just here, take Schroeder back. Take his vibes. The Lakers might do it. The Lakers are like, we're fuck it. Who cares? We're all gonna die soon anyway. So yeah, you're not going to get anything for Horford, anything of like positive value, unless you attach like picks and like a young player. Or
none of their young players are positive value. Peyton Pritchard.
Maybe
he's a
seventh. He's Landry Shamet. He's white Landry Shamet.
He's a backup ball handler that like is not the worst player in the NBA. Like he's fine. Like he's not going to be good, but capable, maybe.
He scored like 90 points in a pro-am game, dude.
Yeah, in Oregon. Yeah, exactly.
Come on, in Oregon, the hotbed for basketball in America,
and he's like a second or third year player, and he's like 25. You know, so just
yeah. But also, damn, I can't remember the Celtics fan's name, but he got really mad because we all criticized the Celtics for passing on Tyrese Maxey for Aaron Nesmith.
Yep.
And then he got mad and was like, oh, look at the Sixers idiots for passing on Peyton Pritchard for Tyrese Maxey. Maybe we should stop judging the NBA draft like on the night of the night of the draft. And then I was like, would you like to check back in on that, sir? Who's better?
Obviously, it's Aaron Nesmith. Did you know he broke the Celtics practice record for threes made in a row without missing more than two in a row of the most records?
That's so great.
Tatum's record. Yeah, like
that's so awesome because he's only ever been a 3-point shooter in theory. So,
yeah,
literally had a 14-game stretch in college where he shot like 50% from three, and Danny Ainge was like, "Oh, so we just drafted Ray Allen."
And I remember when they drafted that French guy that no one had ever heard of, and I think he's like getting 1 point a game in the French league right now. Like,
Yam Madar. No, that was I know who you're talking about. That was the Israeli guy, Yam Madar. But I can't even remember that guy's name. What is he averaging?
Like 1 point a game in the French league, or so. Basically the equivalent of the Bucks taking Georgios Kostiakis, except that it wasn't a favor to Giannis's agent.
They weren't doing it as a bit. They were like, we really like this random guy in France who is now averaging 1 point a game. Well, that's a great sign. Maybe they could trade him for THT.
27. 20. It's getting to the point where it's like a Christmas, like the 12 days of Christmas. And
it's literally like when Hugo from Warriors Twitter was trying to trade Andrew Wiggins and the Minnesota pick for like every superstar Giannis, that came available. Yeah. Yeah, Giannis or Bradley Beal or whoever. And it's like, in retrospect, the pick and Wiggins probably wouldn't have been a bad return for Bradley Beal, but all right. Yes, it would have been. I don't know why I'm saying that. Speaking of Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal's putting pressure on the Wizards to make a move at the deadline for a second guy. So either Jeremy Grant, Sabonis, one of these guys that's out there that he
Spencer
thinks
Dinwiddie.
Well, yeah, Spencer Dinwiddie is now a human NFT. He is.
Can he even eat right now? Like the crypto's so in the dirt. Is he like out of money?
You know, that's why he's playing so poorly right now. His his shooting goes down. Like, he's personally affected when crypto goes down. It's amazing. If you look at the charts, they're like identical.
I 100% believe this.
Yeah. And it makes a lot of sense if you think about it. But no, Spencer Dinwiddie only exists in the metaverse now. He's not an NBA player anymore.
Or the netiverse.
Folks.
No, the Brooklyn Nets have announced their sponsorship with the metaverse, and it's called the netiverse.
Oh, yeah. That's incredibly lame. Yeah. But also, he played for the Nets. I get it. It's a good pun. I liked it. But they are willing to move Spencer Dinwiddie at the deadline. So. I don't know. I mean,
what did they give up on that sign and trade? Was it a first or what?
No, they only gave up seconds. I think it was just seconds. Like, I think that they just traded a trade exception for the Nets. So the Nets actually have a pretty big trade exception. I think they still have it. And then they basically just have Spencer Dinwiddie. I mean, like, the Nets or the Wizards have Spencer Dinwiddie and like a bunch of tradable salaries. But like, who could they pay? Like, could you trade Denny Avdia or Rui Hachimura or like one of these guys on your team and get Sabonis? Like, so they want an all-star back for Sabonis.
Like, Bradley Beal for Sabonis is the funniest, saddest trade in the NBA.
Yeah, we solved both issues. And didn't you see, you were the one that were like, this is, Windy actually got, you know, he's always so worried about getting aggregated that he actually got fucked over by the aggregators. Because what they said on the podcast was he's not going to sign the extension with the Wizards. But the reality was he was never going to sign the extension now because it's for 4 years. He can sign a 5-year max Bradley Beal this summer.
Yep, the same one basically Harden can sign, I think.
So, like, Beal's just going to sign the 5-year max there, and they're going to try to trade every pick and young guy they have, which, by the way, they can't trade their pick this year or in 2024 because they traded their 2023 first round pick in the John Wall for Russell Westbrook trade. So how are they going to make, they're not going to make a deal at this deadline that's going to move the needle at all.
It would be like,
like KCP and like
trade KCP to the Lakers for Taylor Horton Tucker.
Russell Westbrook goes back to the Wizards.
KCP, Kyle Kuzma. Honestly, if you're the Wizards, you don't want to trade Kyle Kuzma because he's like literally your second best, if not your best player this season.
Holy shit. That's depressing.
He's been, like, every Wizards game I've watched, I'm like, holy shit, Kyle Kuzma is like the guy we thought he was that his rookie year.
I know. He's been pretty good. Yeah. But at the same time, like, he's Kyle Kuzma. Like,
yeah. Where that,
whatever.
That sweater. I don't get fashion. I'm white.
No one got that. He looked like shit wearing that. You're not the only one.
Like, yeah, like, I legitimately think you could get, if you, I wonder if Kuzma's enough for Sabonis, like Kuzma and stuff.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
They would do it. Like, okay, Kuzma, maybe Denny, like Denny Avdia or Rui Hachimura, like one of their, like, I don't think Corey Kispert has that much value, but like Rui at least showed some stuff in the playoffs last year. He's a big scoring wing. Like Kuzma, Rui, and like two first round picks for Sabonis might make a little bit of sense.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I think I'd rather just have Kuzma, but I'm not in charge of trying to keep Bradley Beal happy, so whatever. yeah, I don't know. That's just me talking out my ass. Am I now part of the mafia overrating Kyle Kuzma? Oh, no. Like, I legitimately would want to hold on to Kyle Kuzma.
We have Dave McMenamin on the podcast today. We have literally any Lakers reporter just tried to shove Kyle Kuzma down my throat for years.
We have that guy who made the Instagram post that comparing him to Jason Tatum in 2017 that gets posted every 5 minutes.
With the 2K meters?
Yes.
I mean, hey, Tatum's slumping. All I'm saying is Kuzma is not slumping. Would you rather have Kuzma or Tatum is what I'm trying to say. Isn't Kuzma like 28? He's like old as shit.
He did he was at Utah for 87 years. So yeah,
probably. I was going to say he was Van Wilder. He was a 7-year senior at Utah. Okay. So that's pretty much it. I mean, The only thing I had left on here beyond that was, speaking of Sabonis, did you see Bill Simmons' fake trade where the Sixers get Sabonis and Jeremy Lamb for Ben Simmons and a first round pick? So Daryl Morey's been waiting all this time to trade for another center.
Yes. And Sabonis is like the perfect level of fake good. Like
100%.
It's completely unscalable of what he does. Yep. It's just like, I don't know what good team he helps. Like,
maybe, you know, the Warriors. That was the only one we could ever come up with, because like the Warriors just have so much margin for error and like can cover up a lot of weaknesses for guys.
Yeah. I love, but if they don't have Draymond Green, they cannot fucking play Sabonis out there.
Absolutely like, not. That would never work.
Yeah. Like, you know, again, if Draymond Green's done for the season, the Warriors are done for the season. Like, as we've been watching, they're garbage without him. But yeah, like Sabonis, like he's one again, like Sabonis and Ben Simmons, again, like what teams do they fit on? None of
good basketball players, and they fit on zero teams in the NBA. Like,
that's
unbelievable.
The ridiculous three-team trades that people have thrown. I don't know if you picked any of these for the show tomorrow, but the Simmons and Sabonis on the Kings three-teamer is the funny. God. I would just be like, what is that? What is that?
It would be amazing. They would just pass the ball to each other back and forth the entire game. It would be like that fucking clip of Blake Griffin when he was on the Pistons, and they just keep passing the ball. Like, those two together would never make any sense. That's why if Indiana was going to trade for him, I always thought they had to trade Sabonis so that they could do Miles Turner. At least it makes a little bit more sense with Ben Simmons. But once again, you're just shuffling deck chairs in the Titanic. As you've said, the Pacers have to be legally in the 5-10 seed, so that always made sense to me.
Yeah, but they're going to get arrested this year.
Well, their rebuild's over, dude. They sent out a tweet. They were like, it's done. We did our bit. Miles Turner got hurt. Sabonis, we want too much for him. And we re-signed Malcolm Brogdon, and now we're gonna finish the rebuild. It's over. The Pacers rebuild lasted a month and they did nothing. It was
speaking of lasting a month. Amazing. Does Rick Carlisle get a second season?
Are they going to fire a coach for the third straight year?
Malcolm Brogdon is a coach killer. I've been saying this. 3 out of the last 5 years, he's got the coach fired.
Maybe 4 out of 6 now.
Yeah.
If he gets Carlisle, is he going to want to stay there is the question.
I would, if Halliburton and stuff like stay on the Kings, I'd rather go coach the Kings than coach the Pacers. Like,
oof.
I know it's the Kings, but at least you have a young player you can get excited about. Yeah. Like,
and it's basically Pacers West at this point. Like, their goal is to
what jobs do we expect to be open? Like,
Philadelphia.
The Celtics already could have hired Rick Carlisle, I think.
And they didn't. Yeah. Well, the reason the Celtics hired Ime Udoka is because they're fucking cheap, dude. They didn't like that was they wanted a first time coach, so they didn't have to pay him a lot of money because they're still playing Brad Stevens.
Yeah. To be a figurehead. I always wonder. I keep waiting for him to pull the Popovich and fire and then just take the job back over.
Just do the Pat Riley firing Van Gundy and just being like, I'm back. I mean, realistically, that probably will happen at some point if he stays on that contract for long enough. Like, Udoka has been really disappointing. They're like 1-18 in close games and shit. I think Bill Simmons is gonna become the Joker if this continues. Like, people are just losing their minds.
I legitimately think it's a profitable strategy. It's been a profitable strategy this season to, when the Celtics get up to +20 or up 20-point lead, take the money line of the other team.
Yes, 100%.
It's been absurd. Like, they
have more collapses than any team I've ever seen, and I'm a Sixers fan.
And I'm a Bucks fan.
I don't know what's going on there. Maybe once they get healthy, like, they'll figure it out. But, like, they're still in the play-in.
What do you mean when they get healthy? Who's not healthy?
Well, now they're finally all back. Like, they're starting five.
Yeah.
And their starting five has apparently been good together. I don't know. This is all propaganda that I see from Celtics Twitter. Like, Celtics Twitter is, like, once again, just state media. Like, there are realistic Celtics fans that I know and like and stuff. But the majority of Celtics fans on Twitter are, like, the guy from, I can't remember his name, Greeny, the Stool Greeny guy. He was, like, he posted, like, please stop. Their fucking record in like 13 games that they played together is 8-6. And then he put in parentheses 61%. And I'm like, for 13 games, like, you can't take anything from 13 games. You have to take, like, you need like at least like a 40 or 50 game sample size to be like, okay, this is a good team. Like, you can't just be like, oh, well, for the 13 games that they play together, like, and who were they playing in those games?
They played the Pistons, the Rockets, the
right. Like, did they beat anyone good? Did they blow out any teams? Like,
did they play teams ravaged by COVID at that time, right, as opposed to when they were?
Exactly. But yeah, so Bill Simmons wants to trade Ben Simmons because he's very bad at Daryl Morey, which is funny because he's Morey's friend and he's literally like on Twitter talking shit on him. He's like, get a fucking deal done, dude, figure it out. And I'm like, I'm actually with Bill Simmons on this. He's being realistic. It's funny that like Shams is like kissing Morey's ass and telling everyone what a good boy Daryl Morey is in the media. And then Bill is like, fucking do something, dude. Like, you've lost. Yeah, like, it's over.
Shams does whatever anyone wants. Like,
yeah, he's a Shams chameleon.
He's a blank. As much as Adam Schefter is just a blank slate for the anyone, like, Shams is literally a blank slate for anyone if they need to run a redemption story because they beat their wife, if they and overcame the adversity of beating their wife. Like,
yeah.
Like, Kendrick Nunn faced so much adversity getting to the NBA. It's like, I fucking hate you, dude.
Derrick Rose. It's literally anyone.
He runs a Derrick Rose redemption piece every 2 months. Like,
and the irony of that is, like, in our shitty media, that people just don't even ever talk about that. So, like, why do you even need to run these redemption pieces anymore? Like, people just, they just go, move on with their lives. They don't care because our media just doesn't care. They're just like, whatever. Derrick Rose is a hooper, so we'll just be able to move on. But one last thing with the Bill Simmons thing is that when Bill Simmons talks about Sabonis, I know he doesn't watch Sabonis because he talks about him like he's Jokic. Like, he's like, oh, that guy. Like, he basically said on his podcast he would consider trading Jaylen Brown for Sabonis. And I'm like, for what? What is a Jason Tatum Sabonis team going to do better than a Jaylen Brown Jason Tatum team?
Get higher draft picks.
Which then they'll use on Naismith. Romeo Langford.
It's like honestly incredible. They have blown every single pick except for since probably Robert Williams, like ever since then. Like,
yep. They've blown. No, like, that's not even an exaggeration. They have blown every pick since the 2018 draft. Like, that Robert Williams was the last good pick. And even then, didn't he only fall because they thought he had, like, character issues and injury issues? Like,
I thought it was injury issues, and then it was I think all the character issue stuff started when he was, like, late to his press conference or whatever. Okay. The Time Lord nickname started. And
right,
stuff, but.
Right. Well, when I talked to one of our friends at Death by Celtics, he said, if the Sixers and the Celtics were to ever do a Jaylen Brown, Ben Simmons deal, which he didn't want to do, but he was like, the Sixers would have to send us picks and they would also have to tell us who to draft with the picks.
As in the Matisse Thybulle for Carson Edwards trade.
Yes. Or just Tyrese Maxey, who the Celtics passed on. Like,
the untouchable Matisse Thybulle.
Yes. Well, please don't even get me fucking started on that. That's an insane statement that... Once again, I hope all of this is just for posturing. I really don't think it is anymore. Like, I really think there's a good chance that Ben Simmons just doesn't get traded. Like, I really think there's a chance that I'm here on the deadline, sitting in this chair, and everyone that listens to the podcast gets to see my soul leave my body, and I will just die.
Yep.
Because Ben Simmons will still be a Sixer at 3:01 p.m. on February 10th.
I can't wait. You're just gonna be like, you're gonna have an all time like either like anime or just like guy in a movie like breakdown screaming. I'm not gonna do it in the mic, but just screaming no into the mic, and just everyone's gonna like check to make sure you're alive. Like people oh, are yeah. gonna.
I like, kind of just shut down cops. In those situations. I kinda,
like you're gonna cause a disturbance. Down.
Like, I'll just get emotionally like negligent and just like kind of like just be sitting here. Like it won't be as entertaining as it sounds. Like I'll just be really dejected and yeah. everyone will just feel bad for me. So at least we'll all feel bad together, right, folks? So that's a good place to end it. We will be back tomorrow. We're going to do a live stream of Trade Machine War Crimes. We got a bunch of people to submit trades. 95% of them were Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris trades. I'll try to sort through the ones that weren't and get the best ones. And then we'll just we'll riff on them tomorrow. So thanks for coming on, dude. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Yep. See you tomorrow.
Peace.